Hello and welcome to the Dentistry Online podcast. I'm going to be chatting to Millard Shadru, also known as the Singing Dentist. It's been almost 5 years since he released his debut and won over the hearts of hundreds of thousands of people. We're going to be chatting about his journey, the challenges, and what his tips would be for other dental professionals. But the world has been very different lately. How has the Singing Dentist been getting on during the pandemic?
Singing Dentist has been getting on all right, to be fair. First of all, it's nice to talk about myself in the third person. So let's do that for a little bit. So the Singing Dentist, what's he been doing? Well, it's been all right. I mean, obviously there's been a lot of, on the negative front, obviously a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety for lots of people. What's going to happen to their business? What's going to happen to their livelihood? What's going to happen to the world? What's happening to the economy? What's happening to the health of people? That for me has been the key, right? The health element of it, and just making sure that everyone I know, my immediate family, everyone, we're staying healthy and we're staying safe. All those other things will get sorted. They somehow will, you know, we'll just carry on, go back to kind of some level of normal. There'll be a new normal for sure. But things will just progress, and obviously we'll continue doing what we're doing, however we have to do it. So I'm quite philosophical with those type of things. So I just kind of, once you get over that element of it and you realize that certain things are kind of just really out of your control and you've just got to try and get through every day and be positive as much as possible, then it becomes a little bit easier, I find. So for me, it's just been about trying to get a new routine. So, you know, the routine previously of work or taking kids to school or whatever, that's completely changed. So we now have a new routine. And once you get into your new routine, life just carries on, but it's a new form of life. Humans are a very adaptable species. So we just adapted to this new way of life of waking up at 9 a.m. and, you know, get out of bed. The kids get a lay in. So my daughter's 6 and my son's 4, and we've trained them to lay in. They go to bed like 8:30, 9. So we're actually probably a bit later with them sleeping, but then they sleep till like 9 a.m.
Nah, and then, that's the secret then, just let them stay up.
I know, yeah. Yeah. So and then they just sort of come into our room about 9-ish. We sort of watch like TV cartoons with them. So me and my wife are still passed out, sort of semi-conscious, and the kids are like in bed watching cartoons. And then about 10, we come down, they have their breakfast, and then my wife starts the homeschooling with my daughter and does a bit with my son as well. So she does the morning shift with the schooling till about 12. Then I step in for my shift of homeschooling. So I do 12 to 1. And then, so it's either maths or like ICT or my wife's giving me maths, science, ICT, that kind of stuff. Okay. She does the English and art and nice stuff.
You happy with that?
I don't mind. That's all right, to be fair. I mean, I could have done any of it if I'm honest, but no, I'm joking. So art, I'm terrible at art actually, to be fair. But so I do that. Then we have a bit of lunch. Then I get on with some more work. So that first block in the morning, I've got time to do my own thing. So whether it's catching up with business stuff, office stuff, whether it's content creation for Singing Dentist stuff, whether it's coming up with concepts, ideas, planning my week of social media posts, when I'm going to post, what I'm going to post, on what platform, what I need to film, maybe do a bit of editing, do some music production. I'm in my studio now. I'm going to work on something real quick. So those are the things. I mean, I've been doing a DJ set every Saturday night called Club Conservatoire.
Oh wow, how's that going?
I turn my conservatory into a club, and I just DJ live on social media for like an hour and a half every Saturday at 9:30 p.m. It's been unbelievable. Literally, the amount of people we've been watching. There've been more people watching my live than proper DJs, which is crazy. But I used to DJ, so you know I can actually spin records.
That's quite nice. It's given you a chance to do something you wouldn't ordinarily do.
Massively. That's been the biggest revelation for me. And everyone on the message, they're like, oh my God, when lockdown's over, you so have to do this properly. And I'm like, oh, maybe. We'll take Club Conservatoire on tour up and down the country. I've actually quite enjoyed being around with the kids and spending time doing different things, being creative. You know, I'm always creative anyway. I'm always kind of thinking about stuff outside of the box and what else I can do. So for me, it's been a time to just do more of it and kind of get away with doing more of it because I can't do anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the way we've got to look at it, really. There's no other way to take it. It's one day at a time and just, yeah, like you said, get used to the new normal. Obviously, we released our Dentistry Top 50 recently, and you were number one for the second year running. How's that?
yeah, unbelievable, to be fair, because, I mean, I think it has happened before where, you know, someone's had kind of number one 2 years running. I don't think it's happened 3 years in a row ever. So we shall see. But also, I don't think one person has won it 3 times before or has come top 3 times before.
That's true. There was a little gap there, and then you've come back in again.
Yes, I've come back in and flipped it. I mean, look, it's it's awesome because I know people have to vote for it and everything else. And that's always an amazing feeling to know that people have actually voted for it. It's a tough one, that list, because I think it's cool. It's a bit of fun. It's you know, obviously some people respond really well to it. Other people use it for marketing. I basically mention it, you know, once on my kind of socials and say thank you very much to everyone that has kind of voted. And then that's about it, because it's an interesting list, because I know some dentists that are super influential, do amazing things, that don't get in there because they kind of want to stay in the background or they want to do whatever. And the other thing that bugs me about the list is that the people that don't like it and the people that moan about it, they're like, they basically think it's some sort of the best dentist in the world list, which it absolutely isn't. I mean, I could name you five dentists right now that are like good friends of mine that I know are better dentists than me. So it's not that. It's not about the best dentist. I guess with it being an influential thing, you know, if you've influenced someone enough for them to want to vote for you in a list like that, then I guess you sort of have some kind of influence, right? So I think it's cool. It's nice. It's a nice kind of, you know, fun thing. But I take it with a pinch of salt and enjoy it while it's there and everything else. But you know, I think with everything, you're gonna get people that love stuff and you're gonna get people that dislike stuff. So
I mean, would you say since the singing dentist sort of came about, you've enjoyed the job more? Would you say it's sort of given you a little bit of sort of a break from the stresses of dentistry?
Definitely. I mean, for me, dentistry, so I qualified 16 years ago. So it's not a massive long career, but I'm not at the start of my career either. I'd say I'm kind of like, you know, close to mid. I guess, look, if you're 24 when you qualify, 23 when you qualify, you're going to work till you're 60, let's say 65-ish. So that's 40 years, right? Pretty much of a career in dentistry. So I'm at the 16, so I'm approaching halfway of the career. And, you know, it's hard. I've been at the same practice since I qualified. So being in the same place, same room, I've seen now generations of people. So, you know, I've got patients now who are going off to uni, and I saw them. I'm the only dentist they've ever seen in their entire life. Wow. They were like two when they walked in. Now they're 18. They're taller than me. Some of them are hairier than me. And they're going off to university, you know. So that's a remarkable thing to kind of see that. You know, people that were stuck my age, they're now married, they've got their kids, I'm having conversations with them about kids, you know. So it's a remarkable kind of situation to be in when you've seen the same people twice a year for 16 years. So aside from that element of it, it does also get a little bit routine. It does get a bit kind of mundane. It does get a bit autopilot sometimes when you're at work. So to have a diversion is key. And I always kind of, whenever I get an opportunity to talk to young dentists or do any lecturing on this type of stuff, work-life balance, that sort of thing, I always stress the point that one of the keys to success is to have, you 100% need to have hobbies, a passion, a life, something totally away from dentistry. Because if that's all you got, and after you finish work, you go home and take all of that stuff home with you, and then the next morning you just carry it on, you don't ever like emotionally, mentally discharge from it and switch off from it. And that's a problem. So for me, this singing dentist projects, I've always had a distraction. Music was always a distraction, sports, martial arts, everything. There's always been something there. But this singing dentist thing has really kind of channeled all of that into one entity, kind of, where I get to show all of my creative things. I get to show all my different sides, and people kind of seem to enjoy watching it. So
that's a bonus.
It works for me. Yeah, absolutely. I'm very lucky.
2015, am I right? When it sort of, you first started it.
Yeah. The first parody, I think, was November 2015. It was the, I should have never done that endo. That was the first accidental one.
I mean, you know, why? I know, obviously, you've just said it's a nice break from dentistry. It sort of adds another element to your sort of day-to-day life. But why else have you sort of kept it up over the years? And have there ever been any times when you've sort of thought, right, it's time, I'm not going to do this anymore? Or have you always sort of had faith in it?
You know what? That's a great question. Basically, I think it sort of happened just organically. And it's kind of just kept going because I guess I'm very conscious of the brand, where it's me. It's not like something I turn on, right? I basically am kind of that way 99% of the time. The singing dentist entity is just an extension of my personality. So if you follow me on Instagram or you see my Facebook posts or whatever it is, I'm just, a lot of it is just me. Like in my stories, I'm not in my blue tunic every day and just kind of talking about teeth. I'm just showing people my general lifestyle and what I get up to and what I do. So people have, it started off as like a kind of parody act thing where I just do songs about dentistry, and that was it. And that's all I'd really kind of do. Once every couple of months, I'd put a song out. Then it slowly became a thing where people wanted to know more about me and they kind of wanted to just see my personality. And I don't kind of turn it on. And this whole like social media influencer thing, I don't necessarily like that term. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think I'm influencing anything, but apparently, according to your list, I am.
You are.
So, you know, I guess more creator, social media creator, because I kind of create content, or I just show everyday content, and people kind of seem to like that. People like to kind of know what, you know, that's going on in other people's lives. So that's, I guess, why it's carried on, because I just show myself on social media, and it just happens to go out to a wider number of people than maybe someone else is showing it. But then there's, you know, people that are even bigger than me, massive, huge numbers of social media followers, and they're just doing the same thing as me, showing their life, making content, and that's it. So the singing dentist stuff, I'm very conscious to not batter it as well. That's, I think, been a key to what the success, you know, when you get a bit of heat on social media, the advice is always keep going, smash it out, bang, bang, bang. You've got momentum, keep going. But the type of content I make, it's impossible to do that. I can't keep making dental songs once a week, because I would have been finished, you know, 4.5 years ago if I did that. Yeah. Because people just get bored of it very quickly, and they're like, mate, forget about it. So I let things purposefully die down, keep nice content trickling along, you know, fun stuff, educational stuff, da 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 da. Then I come back with another song when there's a big song, when there's a big topic, or there's something that's engaging for people. Then I let it die down again, then it kind of trickles along, and then I get little opportunities. But, you know, I get like brand work, I get, you know, fun stuff, I get invited here, invited there, and it's all an opportunity to create content. So that's kind of why it's carried on, because A, it's an extension of me, so I'm not really changing who I am or acting or being something different. B, I really enjoy it, and it gives me an opportunity to put my creative energies into stuff. And C, it's just organically trickled along. So I think that's why 5 years, you know, I've been very conscious and I've kind of not overdone it, I think. So
yeah. I mean, what do you think it's taught you that dentistry hasn't?
What social media taught me that dentistry hasn't taught me?
Yeah, I mean, just the singing dentist is sort of taking this from, you know, I mean, am I right in saying it was just one of your sort of colleagues overheard you? So
the first ever one, so that I should have never done the endo one. That was so because I've got a background in music, right? I used to MC, and I've DJed for years, and I've produced music. I've got studios in my house. My dad's a musician, so music has always been a massive part. Performing music was always a big part of my life. So I had a patient that didn't show up for root canal, and so I was just talking about endos, and Hotline Bling by Drake came on the radio. So it was when that song was like huge, and I just started freestyling, because I can kind of freestyle and rap and whatever and MC. So I just started freestyling and talking about endo, and I just talked about how patients don't like it, and you know, it's really stressful for dentists, and all this stress for a band too on NHS and this type of stuff. And I thought it was quite funny, my freestyle lyrics. So I basically recorded it on my phone, sent it to a friend of mine who's a dentist, and he posted it into like a dentist for dentist group. And people started thinking, oh my God, this is hilarious. This guy's so funny. And they started sharing it to like their own pages. And then I started to see general public, like, oh my God, is this actually a dentist? He's so funny. I don't know what he's talking about, but it's really funny. So that's when I thought, okay, well, if people like it and I've got that music ability, let me just combine it, talk about dentistry, but let's do one. Let me write it physically and then give some oral health advice. And then I did Gappy, I called it. And that was the first one that I did planned. And it did really well. I put it into like a YouTube page, started sharing it. It got like 500,000 views in a week or something crazy. And I thought, oh my God, people quite like this. So then I just started doing more of them. And that's how it started. It was never meant to be a thing. It was never a marketing strategy. It was never a plan. Okay, I'm good at music. What should I do with it? Let me talk about tea. That was never it. It just happened.
Yeah,
it turned into that. And now I'm starting to kind of experiment with talking about other stuff, not teeth. So that this coronavirus baby parody, that was the first one where I've not talked about teeth. And it still did really well and people liked it. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I can just talk about other stuff now. I don't have to always talk about teeth.
I mean, how long does it take you? So when you're recording these, do you how many takes does it take you to sort of
that's a good one sometimes. So because if you watch all the videos, bar like one or two where I've actually tried to do different things and chop it and do production on it, and like the Thriller video, for example, that was like a proper music video, dance routine, all that kind of stuff, pretty much all of the parodies are one take with my camera phone on a tripod, selfie style. And that's how it is every single time. And I nail it in one take. So, you know, when it's a 2.5 minute song or 2 minute song or whatever it is, that's just 2 minutes of solid performance without chopping in. So you have no opportunity to make mistakes. So there'll be times I'll do it and I'll watch it back and I'll think, that's good, but I could do that bit a bit better. So I'll scrap it and I'll do the whole thing again. So some of them take like 10, 12, 15 takes. Others, my first take will just be so good because it's not perfect, but there's a little funny moment in it. I'm like, dude, that's heavy. I'm never going to recreate that. So I'll just keep it.
Do you have anyone to bounce the ideas off? Do you ever sort of call anyone up? Like,
my wife.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
My wife is the creative director.
Does she ever tell you, no, you've got to...
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. My wife is great, man. She keeps it real 100% of the time. She's been with me, you know, we've been together, I think it'll be 18 years this year. So she was there well before the singing dance, but she knows my music background. You know, she's been there for the whole journey, basically. So she keeps it real. I have no issues with her slamming it down, destroying it. There'll be times I think I've done the sickest thing and I can't go, baby, I've got an idea for a song, and I'll do it. She's like, nah, it's weak. I'm like, oh.
And you listen to her. That's
100%.
She has the final 100%. Take. Amazing.
And she's actually given me some ideas. So the Ed Sheeran, Shape of You, that was her idea.
Wow, okay.
And that's my biggest parody to date. So
that was her idea. Do you have a feature? Idea. Do you reckon that's something she'd have?
No. So that's one thing about my wife. She is so inverse me as a personality. Is perfect. Literally the yin and yang thing, that's me and her. That's why we work so well. She doesn't want to be in front of the camera, like, ever. Like, so this Saturday night DJing thing I do, Club Conservatoire, she mans the shout outs. So she'll be watching and she writes them down on the whiteboard and gives me the shout out. Every so often I'll be like, babe, say something. She's like, she literally won't say a word. Like, she doesn't want to be associated.
She's just that background, you know, brains type thing.
100% okay. The background. 100%. And that's the way, she just doesn't want to be anywhere near it. So, which I guess kind of works because I'm so extrovert.
Yeah.
For her to be a bit more behind the scenes, it kind of works really, really well. But yeah, she's the creative director. Definitely. I always run everything by her. And I've got one other filter, I call it. The creative filter is my daughter.
How old is she? Six?
Six, yeah. So ever since she was about four, I've been using her as the filter because I'll do the video and I'll show it to her. If it engages, basically their attention span is about 0.3 seconds, right? So if you can keep an attention of a child watching your face and not wanting to either lock it off or run off and do something or whatever, you know that you've got some engaging process going on. And so when I do a parody, I test it on my daughter. She kind of watches it all the way through or giggles or smiles or doesn't, you know, swipe. I know it's going to be a big one.
Amazing.
Yeah, if she swipes or just drops the phone and runs off, I'm like, maybe I need to rethink this one. Yeah, exactly. So there you go. I've got the team, man. The team's strong.
Yeah, sounds it. Sounds like a good team behind you. So obviously, back to sort of the singing dentist and using sort of social media in all of its glory. What advice would you have for sort of other dentists who perhaps want to put a bit of personality into their work? Because obviously, it's quite difficult to get started off with that. I mean, you say you fell into your sort of naturally and quite accidentally, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to others who perhaps want to sort of bring to life their practice a little bit?
All right, so first thing is you need to have a personality. I'm not trying to be rude, but I mean by that is genuinely, it's not for everyone, right? So you can't force it. That's what I'm trying to get at. If you're not a kind of extroverted, if you're not comfortable in front of the camera, you can have training, you can get better at public speaking, for sure. There's no doubt of those things. However, if you're going to pretend to be like a really bubbly kind of character and that's just not you, you don't have to do that. Find what works for you and showcase that. Or if you have a more bubbly team member, like you might have a really bubbly nurse, you might have a really bubbly hygienist, therapist, associate, receptionist, whatever TCO, doesn't matter what member of the team it is. If you want to promote your practice, find someone who is comfortable, find someone who is bubbly, and then collaborate with them. So you can do some serious stuff while that team member adds a bit of humor or light or whatever. So my first tip is just don't fake it, because it comes across on social media and it won't be engaging. People will just be like, that's just not him. People that know me know that the singing dentist element is me. Like, that's just how I am. When we're out, that's how I am. So that's the first thing. The second thing is you need to plan what you're going to do. If you're doing a story, cool, press record, chat, and it's gone in 24 hours. If you're going to make content, plan it, decide what you're going to do, how long you're going to spend on it, what platform it's going to live on, makes platform-specific content. So Insta, Facebook, TikTok, they're all different now. You have to treat them differently. And then once you've recorded it, watch it back, check it, make sure you're 100% happy with it. Don't be afraid to trash something and do it again if it's not truly reflective of you and your message and your voice. So all these things, you know, are important for it to look authentic. Authenticity is key. That's why sometimes I find it difficult when I have to do brand work. Because when you have an online platform, it's just, you know, people always say, well, how do you monetize this, man? You know, how are you making money? Oh, you must be making millions now, you know, being a YouTube. And the answer is no, it doesn't. Because what I do with parodies, I can't monetize my songs, and I don't monetize them because they're other people's music, right? So fair use on the copyright law allows you to do parodies, but you can't monetize them, and I don't monetize them. What the way that it monetizes is because more people watch it, you then get brand offers because you've got a bigger profile. And they'll come to you and say, hey, man, I've got this product, you know, make some sing a song about it, make some content and sell it for me. And I'm like, okay, let's have a look at it. And the product's garbage. Or it's just something that isn't any good. And I'm like, well, yeah. I can't endorse this, because there are people that will, because that's their business. Their business model is they get famous on a reality TV show, for example, and then they'll just sell anything, regardless of what it is. And that's fine. That's their business model. And that kind of works for them for a period of time. It might then lead on to something else and they have a long-term career. For me, I can't do that because I have integrity, believe it or not. You know, I've turned down so much. In the last 5 years, I've probably turned down hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of brand deals because the product just wasn't any good, or because I just felt uncomfortable doing it, or okay, the product's cool, what do you want me to do, this, oh god, nah, that just isn't in keeping with my brand, that's not in keeping with the voice, that's not in keeping with the thing. I'd be fake if I did this, so I can't do it, I'm not going to do it. So that is key as well. Authenticity is key. So if I ever do brand deals, it's because I either like the product, I believe in the product, I think it has a place for that in society, this product. I would never put my name to something that I thought was garbage because of the money, because that's just not, money will come. And I'm in this for the long term, not for some short term game. And, you know, let's just make some money and bounce. That's never it. So be authentic. That's the biggest key I can give someone. So if you don't have a personality, find someone that does and pump your energy into them.
Okay. No, that's good. I think that sounds like a good advice. Okay, so obviously, yeah, like we said earlier, singing dentist, 5 years in the making now. You must have had some strange experiences with patients or members of the public. I mean, I have a friend who, I was having a conversation about what I do with him the other day, and he was like, oh, do you know the singing dentist?
Amazing.
And I was like, oh, actually, I don't, not yet, but I will. I'm looking to line up. Yeah, hopefully. So yeah, obviously people... And you know, this guy is he's 28. It's from young kids all the way up to the I'm not saying 28 is old. It goes beyond that, but up to older generations. What's that about?
Yeah, my demographic is crazy, man. From like literally, it's from, you know, 4, 5, 6 year olds all the way up to 70 year olds. I've had people messaging, like when I start doing when you kind of start going viral. You can tell when something's going viral when it breaks into the WhatsApp groups. That's when you know you've made it. Because, you know, getting loads of people seeing it on your Instagram, cool. Facebook, yeah. Cool. When it breaks out of that and people start sharing it in WhatsApp, you know you're done. Oh, man. Because then, like, that happens to me all the time. I'm like, mate, someone's just sent me this video. And then they say, it's like my video. I'm like, bro, that's it. They don't believe I know you. Can you send me a video saying you know me, bro? Honestly, yeah. I have to, like, send a video. Hi, guys. Hello. You know, Matt's stag do group on WhatsApp. I'm actually friends with Matt. Hi. Like, literally, stuff like this happens all the time. So getting stopped in the street, that's always a surreal thing for me. You know, I'm recognized in my local Tesco now. Just the randomest places. I remember one time we were on family holiday in like Portugal. It was maybe two years ago. And it was some like remote part of it. We went out for like a day trip, went to some remote place, and it was like near a beach. So there was a seafood restaurant. It was literally the type of place where they catch the fish, bring it in, cook it straight on like a fire and just stick it on a plate and give it to you. And they had a waiter who was probably in his 50s, right? And he kept coming over and kind of serving us and like looking at me and then walking off, coming back, looking at me. And one time he comes over and goes, huh? I was like, all right. And
then he goes, did you speak English?
I know you.
Oh, he did.
Like, do you? He's like, yeah. Ed Sheeran, huh? Ed Sheeran. And I was like, oh my goodness. I couldn't believe it. And he wanted a photo and I took a photo with him. So literally in the most remotest part of Portugal, some 50-something-year-old waiter in a fish restaurant had seen my Ed Sheeran parody and recognized me. So that's just the craziness of social media. I mean, meeting Ed Sheeran after I did that parody, that was a pretty surreal moment. So he'd heard the parody, and actually someone asked him about it on Radio 1, like in an interview, said, oh, you know, your song was originally done for Rihanna, but you did it yourself. Have you seen all the versions of it? And he was like, yeah. And have you seen the Singing Dentist version? He was, yeah, I've seen it. I thought it was really cool. I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe someone sent me the clip of it. I couldn't believe it. Then he was doing a show for the Teenage Cancer Trust at the Royal Albert Hall. And someone from the Teenage Cancer Trust got in touch with me and said, look, dude, we love your Ed Sheeran parody. How do you feel about coming backstage at his show and kind of performing it for, you know, the kids that we have there on the night who are affected by cancer, either in treatment, in remission? And I was, oh my God, I'd absolutely love to do that, man. That'd be awesome. So I went backstage and I performed it for them in like a little, you know, green room. And a couple of them were like, oh my God, we're here. We're so excited to see you, more than Ed Sheeran. I was like, come on, dude. That's ridiculous. And then while we were backstage, Ed Sheeran kind of walked in and he was like, oh, you're the Singing Dentist. I was like, oh my God, yeah. Hi. And he came over and he was like, dude, you know, what you've done is so great. Let's have a picture. I was like, okay. So I kind of took a photo with him and he was super saving because, look, I've got to go on stage now and play, but, you know, let's catch up after. I was like, all right. We went on stage. I watched it from the side of the stage. And then afterwards, unfortunately, I had to shoot off real quick. So I didn't get a chance to mingle some more. But that one, like, 10 seconds interaction, it was just, I just couldn't believe it. That's that.
I mean, since then, though, surely you're just like, every time you do a song, oh my God, what if the original artist actually...
Yeah, that's always a crazy feeling. So Vanilla Ice posted my Ice Ice Baby onto his Instagram.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah. My god.
Yeah. So when stuff like that happens, that is just an amazing feeling / strange, very surreal moment. You're like, oh my God, these people have seen it and they don't hate it. Huh? That's a bonus. They don't hate what I've done. They don't hate the fact I've mullered their song. So stuff like that, these are really, you know, strange moments. And it's amazing that I've even had an opportunity to kind of do these type of things and get these type of experiences. So I cherish it all the time. And because with social media, like we kind of briefly sort of discussed earlier, it is about ups and downs. And you might suddenly hit a down and there is no more up. And that's the end of it. If it ever trickles out, I will know. My gut is super good. And I don't mean that like digesting and stuff. I'm talking about my feeling. Gut feelings is something I've always worked on. If I feel like something's not right, if I feel like I'm uncomfortable, I get that like kind of weird prickly feeling. I'm like, dude, this isn't right. Or if I start to feel like the momentum is gone and it's time to call it a day, I'll know when. But thankfully that hasn't happened yet. And it's because of moments like this that keep happening or messages that I get, you know, my daughter's now sort of over her fear of dentistry because of you. My, you know, autistic child loves the dentist now because of what you do. Please don't ever stop what you're doing. You've made me smart. I've got, you know, mental health issues. Every day is a struggle for me, but watching your videos lifts my mood every single day. When you get messages like that, you're like, well, how can I stop? Like, even if it's helping one person, two people. If people don't like it on social, there's so much content out there. You don't have to watch it. But there's obviously someone that is watching it and is enjoying it and is getting affected by it. So why would I stop if it's making a positive experience?
A good message to just take away from anything, you know, if anyone's looking to sort of embrace this social media world, don't, you know, there's always going to be people who maybe don't like it, but
oh my God, 100%.
As long as you're helping those, as long as there's, you know, there is an audience and there's people who are enjoying it, then it doesn't really matter what anyone else thinks.
Listen, trolling, negativity, all that kind of stuff is part and parcel of it. If you don't want trolls, if you don't want negativity, if you don't want people criticizing you, don't do anything. Stay away from it and don't stick your head out above the parapet and say, hi, I'm here, I'm doing something different, because it's going to inevitably happen. You look, there will be the cutest video online of like two kittens, you know, playing. And there'll be someone that, I hate cats. I hope someone kicks them in the face. You're like, dude, what happened to you, bro? What happened to you that made you write this comment? But that's what I'm saying. You know, there'll always be, at some point, there'll be someone that just doesn't like something, right? So, and is really strongly negative about it. It's just the way it goes. So you can never please anyone. And once you accept that, once you embrace it, it's fine. You have to move on from it, because there'll be people that are the exact opposite and they're super positive and they love it. Now, if you do something and you get 1,000 horrible comments and one good one, maybe it's time to rethink your content. Yeah, do something different. Yeah. But if majority of the time it's good, it's positive, you're affecting people in a nice way, then you've got to just keep going. I read negative comments all the time and I'm interested by them and I actually use them to think, okay, well, maybe they didn't like it, or what can I do to change that element of it so that everybody appreciates it? But if someone, you know, if you get a comment, oh my God, he's so cringy, I hate him, does anyone else hate this guy, I want to punch him in the face, you're never gonna change that person. I can't change my face, bro. So I'm just gonna move on, and hopefully you don't get exposed to any more of my content.
Yeah, that's not even constructive criticism. That's just
I can't even help you. You know, I'm not gonna shave my beard, because that's the only thing I could do. I can't grow hair anymore. I'm follically challenged, so that's gone. So I'm not gonna shave my beard, because I look like an egg with eyebrows. So bro, it's not. If you don't like the face, just sorry that this banter page that you're following is posting my content. Just watch the 30 million other things they post that day.
No, that's a very good point. No, I like that. That's solid advice. I think for everyone, actually. I think I might take that on board, to be honest.
You have to, because obviously it's unavoidable. Right. It's unavoidable. So it affects you because of your attitude to it. And I never engage with trolls. But hold on, I say never. I occasionally like to have a little kind of banter with them sometimes. Yeah. But then when it starts getting to a point where, because majority of the time, trolls just want to get a rise out of you. They just want you to comment. They want to see they've emotionally affected you. So I just kill them with kindness the majority of the time. I pretend to be a bot, like doing some automated responses to them. That's always quite fun. Other times, I kind of just reach out to them. I'm like, dude, explain to me your comment. Like, what happened to you that you're this way? And a lot of the time, they'll just reach out and go, you know what, mate, fair play. I was just trying to get a response. Actually, I think you're quite funny. You're like, oh, thanks.
It's always the way. They just sit back. You know? It's until they get the response, they can say what they want. And then if you actually come back, like, you know.
And that's happened many times. So the majority of the time, I just don't even respond. I find some of it funny. Some people are so creatively negative as well. Like, I don't think I could ever be that creatively negative. So, you know. Some people are good at it as well. They're like professional trolls.
In this day and age, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, seeing a dentist is related to dentistry, but it's taken in this sort of music side of things for you. One question I'm sort of ending all podcasts with is, what do some people not know about you? Is there something you like to do that people don't know? So obviously, we've spoken about the music side. I know you've said you've got sort of a very strong passion for that. You said your family members, the musicians. Aside from the music, what else do you like to do in your spare time outside of dentistry?
That's a good question. I mean, I've always been someone that's done a lot of different things. So sports, martial arts, that kind of stuff. I've been doing martial arts since I was like 5. So in one form or another, I've done most martial arts for a period of time. One thing I probably regret is not sticking with one long term. So I get bored quite easy. So the thing I've probably stuck with the most is just flat out boxing, Thai boxing, that kind of stuff. So that's something I still kind of do. I used to train at quite a high profile gym with a lot of professional fighters. So I'm still in touch with quite a few of them. So martial arts is a massive part, but that comes in and out, which is unfortunate. Again, my discipline with those things isn't where it should be, which is why I never really competed seriously, because I knew I'm a very competitive person. So once I start doing something, if I don't see it through, I get really disappointed in myself. So I never wanted to put myself in that situation where sometimes I know I get a bit flaky with things and I just can't. I knew I wouldn't be able to finish that. So I just wouldn't put myself in that situation. So that's one thing, martial arts, sports, football. I used to play a lot of football. I've recently been getting back into football because of these like celebrity games. So there's a big company called Celebrity with an S, and they do charity football matches with kind of, you know, it's not like Soccer Aid, which I think is like A-list celebrity levels. You know, you get some proper dons playing that. This, but to be fair, in the one I do, Celebrity, you get some pretty decent guys, you know, very recognizable faces, a lot of reality kind of TV people, music people, some good actors like in your kind of EastEnders, Coronation Street level kind of actors. So recognizable faces, and they're all such a good bunch of lads. So I've been very lucky to be offered to kind of, you know, plays because so many people want to play in those games. So recently I've become like a kind of addition to it. So we had about 15 games planned now. Like this Friday, I was supposed to be playing in Portsmouth or whatever it is. You know, next weekend we were supposed to be in Newcastle, St. James's Park. So like some pretty big grounds as well. And just to even turn up to proper Premier League football grounds and just to walk on the grass is quite amazing. So to be able to play football in those type of things. But let me tell you, I'm touching 40 and some of these reality young lads with their six packs and they're 21 years of age. It's quite hard work. I'm not going to lie, man. I was like...
That's a good thing. You don't want it to be easy.
I swear I was faster than this when I was playing football 20 years ago. You know what I mean? So yeah. I've had to like change my training to get fitter at football because, you know, playing football is a different type of fitness that you need. So, that's been a big thing.
Have you got a team? Have you got a football team?
Oh, man. I'm an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, oh my God, so am I. I'm so glad you said
are you?
That.
Oh, yeah. Thank goodness. Yeah.
I'm really embarrassed about it at the moment.
It's like a painful time for us right now. Yeah. But I'm quite happy the season stopped, if I'm honest.
I think some people are and some people aren't, but I'm definitely in
the time to reset. And let's just forget about this season. Just write it off and start again, man. So one thing that I have a secret passion for that I want to explore some more is acting. So not a lot of people kind of know that I've done little bits and bobs and, you know, doing plays and things back in the day. I'd like to explore comedy acting. I think is something I could do and I'd love to try because it's something I grew up with watching, you know, sitcoms and looking at comic timing and watching stand-up comedians do their craft. That's something I don't think I could do, stand-up comedy. It's incredibly difficult and I big up anyone that does it. I've got some good close friends that are stand-ups. I love watching people that are good at it. But I'm like situationally funny. Like if we hang around, I'll be funny kind of in, you know, just everyday life. To stand up and do a routine for 15 minutes where you're funny, I think that would be really hard.
Expectation for you to be funny as well, you know.
Exactly. That's difficult. But I'd love to do some acting, some proper kind of acting. I've done little sketches here and there and been part of stuff, but I'd like to do some proper scripted comedy acting. So that's something that's in my pipeline, it's on my list of things that I really want to do. I'm gonna try and do it.
Okay, excellent. We'll watch out for that.
Yes, yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming on this today.
No, thank you for having me. It's been a great chat.
And it's it's a nice break from everything that's going on at the moment, I think. So yeah, thank you for that.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. Thanks very much. Thanks for all the continued support from all you guys.